might know it and believe it, and that we might know you through faith in you and your death and resurrection on our behalf. Father, I thank you so much for salvation and for working in us to grow us and to change us and to make us into the people that you want us to be. I ask that you bless this class. Bless those who are not with us this morning. Several of them are in pain. Father, we just ask that you comfort them and heal them. Bring them back to us. Father, we just love you, praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know that I'm a forensic accountant. And as a forensic accountant, what that means is that I do accounting according to the law. And most people get the idea that I'm just sitting there looking at documents, and that is true in some cases. But one of the best things that I can have as far as evidence is what? A witness. When I'm investigating a theft, it's good to have a witness who can shed light on why things happen or that we're actually there. We're going to be talking this morning about a subject that's probably the most controversial subject in society. And that is, where did we come from? Why are we here? Who started it all? And so forth. And science tells us that really we don't know why we're here. And we really don't understand who started it. But the best witness ever is God himself. So I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to give you some premises. Even Christians at some point disagree with some of the things I'm going to teach you, and that's fine. I'm going to teach you what I think the Bible says, and if you have a problem with it, just talk, tell me, and we'll talk about it. So, this is from Lee Strobel's book, The Case for a Creator. Everything has a cause. Why is that an important statement? Well, let me tell you why. Because science says that all of a sudden, just we had a big bang, and we are. And they can never answer this question. Who started the Big Bang? Who's behind the Big Bang? Read what this says. This is interesting. Shows you how far people can twist their reasoning to get to a position. It is metaphysically necessary that anything which begins to exist has to have a cause that brings it into being. That's a first law. Things that don't just pop into existence uncaused and out of nothing. I mean, we don't have bam, there's a Cadillac. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Did you know that? Yet atheist Quentin Smith, and I don't know him, concluded our book on the topic by claiming the most reasonable belief, read what he says, is that we came from nothing, by nothing, and for nothing. So why are we here? Why do we exist? Who started it? And their answer is, nothing. We don't have a clue. I'm sorry that so many are missing this morning. This is why I taught the book of Colossians. I love this passage. This is a staggering passage of Scripture. It is unequaled in what it says about Jesus Christ. First of all, he says, he is the image of the invisible God. And we studied that last week, that one phrase that says that Jesus Christ is the God of this universe. And I take great comfort in that, knowing that he was willing to leave the Godhead to come to earth to die for our sins that we might have life. Chuck, yes?
Do you mind if I back you up just a little bit? I think to the previous.
Is this a plumbing problem?
No, it's amazing to me that the detractors from creation, the atheists, for example, here, would say a statement like this, it actually defies science.
It defies everything. Exactly. Something has to begin it, right? Right. And this verse right here says what? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in all things, in him all things consist. That is an amazing statement, people. Absolutely amazing. The Life Application Study Bible says that there's a reason why the Apostle Paul is teaching this to the Colossians, and that is because they have what's called the Colossian heresy involved, which we know as Gnosticism. And they say there are 4 points. Number one, believing that matter is evil. There are certain people, Christian Scientists, believe matter doesn't even exist, but if it does, it's evil. And you don't. It's all a figment of your imagination. So when you're hurting, it's not real. I know you got that, Sylvia. Just hang on to that. False teachers argue that God would not have come to the earth as a true human being in bodily form. Listen, the Gnostics taught matter is evil, therefore Jesus Christ could not be human. Because being human, he's what? Evil. Paul stated that Christ is the image, the exact likeness of God, and is himself God, and yet he died on the cross as a human being. Number two, they believe that God did not create the world because he would have not created evil. You understand? Matter's evil, therefore he would not create it. Paul proclaimed that Jesus Christ, who is also God in the flesh, is the creator of both heaven and earth. Three, they said Christ was not the unique Son of God, but rather one of the many intermediaries between God and people. Paul explained that Christ existed before anything else and is the firstborn of those resurrected. And then, yes, Allie?
I was going to say, God didn't create evil. He put Adam and Eve into the garden, and they brought evil into the world.
That is a factual statement, yes. But actually, there's a passage in Isaiah where he says, I created evil and calamity. But nobody really understands that passage. They refuse to see Christ as a source of salvation, insisting that people can find God only through special and secret knowledge. In contrast, Paul openly proclaimed the way of salvation to be through Christ alone. When we're sharing the gospel with our friends, one of the things that's so incomprehensible to people is this. That by simply trusting in a man who lived 2,000 years ago that you've never met, who died for you in your place, that you could have eternal life. Think about that.
Okay, I have a question. Are all four of these Gnostics?
I don't know. They said in the Colossian heresy that they were.
If three is what they believed, then how could they say two?
They believe God did not create the world. I'm a little confused.
He didn't exist.
Well,
how can they say three?
I don't know. You're trying to be rational, Sylvia. That's just get off of it. Anyway, and here's it. Because the false teachers believed the physical world was evil, they thought that God himself could not be created. In other words, they went one of two ways. If the world and matter is evil, you either remove yourself from it, which is what a monk does when he goes and sits on a mountaintop, so you're not contaminated by the evil, or you give in to it, which is what they did a lot of times. You just indulge yourself in all kinds of pleasures. They thought that God himself could not have created. If Christ were God, they reasoned, he would be in charge only of the spiritual world. But Paul explained that all thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities of both the spiritual and physical worlds were created by him, and are under the authority of Christ himself. This includes not only the government, but also the spiritual world that the heretics were so concerned about. And yes, people do use the word heretic. Christ has no equal and no rival. He is the Lord of all. Yes, John.
It's been a while since I've studied this, but so in the Gnostic faith, God was unapproachable and unknowable.
Unknowable. It wouldn't be near the earth. And Jesus was just an emanation. Right, exactly.
Somewhere down the hierarchy was the created matter.
Yeah, did I see it? Somewhere I should have read that, what was it? Three? Intermediary. Remember in our study of the false religions and what they say about Christ, he's the same. He's an avatar in the New Age movement. I was thinking about something else, but now I just forgot it. But that's the problem. I want to give you a couple other versions just quickly because it helps clear things up. Prologue? Oh, I'm going to do that. Just hang on. Take a breath. I got you covered. All right? We're going to look at every phrase. All right? But this is from God's Words translation, and I just did this to make sure you're clear. He is the image of the invisible God, which means he is God. All right? The firstborn of all creation. We're going to talk about that. He created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Heaven, earth, visible, invisible. Whether they are kings or lords or rulers or powers, which, by the way, are the angelic realms, the powers. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything and holds everything together. Here's the message. I like this. We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. Science can't tell you why. They can only tell you what they suspect is the how, right? Now, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was therefore before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. I want you to consider something. I'm going to set forth a premise to you today that, number one, Jesus is the creator. Number two, he created this earth in 6 days. And number three, it's only about 6,169 years old. I mean, I want you to hold on to that. Yes, Roger.
When I took biology 2 or 3 years ago, they were clear that the earth was exactly 20 to 50 million years old.
I thought it was 8 billion years old, but it doesn't matter. It's just millions or billions, whatever. Right. The universe, when he was a child, yes, I know. 14. Yes, Allie. Right. How perfect the earth is. You've got to. Now watch this. The passage teaches at least five truths. Number one, Jesus is God. We studied that last week. Number two, Jesus is eternal. We also studied that last week. Number three, Jesus created all things. Number four, all things exist for him. So when you're looking for what is the purpose of this creation, it's for Jesus. All right? And number five, which is really interesting, is he's holding it all together. Now, one of the things that I think, if you really grasp the reality of what the Bible teaches, my witness, this is my witness, by the way. I can look at all scientific theories you want, but I have an eyewitness. I have the one who did it telling me what he did and how he did it and why he did it. All right? And the reality is that he is the one that we know as our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal. Here you go, prologue. The firstborn over all creation. When you hear the word firstborn, what do you think? Firstborn child, right? All right. Doesn't have anything to do with what he's talking about here. But this is where the cults come up with the fact that say Jesus is the firstborn, that he is a created being. Well, that's not what it means. The term firstborn does not refer to time, but to place or status. And by the way, it can refer to time. I'm firstborn. How many firstborns we got in here? Aren't we the best? Amen. Yeah, huh? Yeah, Melanie says she's number one. She's always telling her brother, I'm number one. Yeah, Daniel, you're not. I didn't hear that. The firstborn talks about status. Jesus is not the first being created because what? He's the creator. It's that simple. And Jehovah's Witnesses get this all screwed up. All the cults screw this up. Five times in the Bible it talks about the firstborn. But let me give you an example of the firstborn. How many know where David ranked in his lineage? He's number 8. You're close. Number 8. And here's what the scripture says about David. Also, I will make him my what? Firstborn. What does that mean? The highest of the rank. Actually, good point, David. The highest of the kings of the earth. He is chosen, even though he was number 8, he was made the preeminent one as the firstborn. All right? Firstborn had certain rights and privileges, but he was not created. It doesn't have anything to do with being created or birthing or whatever. It's just a term. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now, Constable adds, may denote either priority in time or supremacy in rank. He says it may also denote both of these qualities. Both seem to be in view here. Christ was before all creation in time, and he is over all creation in authority. In view of the context, the major emphasis seems to be on his sovereignty. However, what firstborn does not mean is that Christ was the first created being, which ancient Arians believed and modern Jehovah's Witnesses teach. They're just screwed up. All right? Jesus is eternal. In the beginning, you have this memorized, right? Was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? This is a clear statement of Jesus' eternality. What is the beginning? In the beginning, when there wasn't a beginning, is essentially what it says. When there was nothing, he was there. And he was there, and he was the Word, which means he is the Logos. He is the communication of who and what God is. And he was God. In fact, he is God. Now, according to the Constable, Jesus is the originator of creation. In other words, it was in him that it came about. He was the agent of creation. It was through him that it happened. He was the goal of creation. It was done for him. Scripture says that there's going to come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of the Father. Yes, Jimmy?
I've got a question. Going back to God's creation, angels created beings, correct?
Right.
He created them with a free will, apparently.
Apparently.
Okay, so anything that is of God that has a free will can be evil, right?
True. Can choose to be evil, and they did, some of them. Oh, the rocks will cry. Okay, I don't know about that, but that you're almost getting close to pantheism there. The antecedent of creation, before all things, he existed. But I know what you're talking about. Jesus said on Palm Sunday, when the Pharisees said, shut up, your disciples, he said, look, if you knew which day this was, the rocks would cry out if they remained silent. That's the verse you're talking about. The antecedent of creation, before all things, and finally, the sustainer of creation, they all hold together in him. Now, I want you to tell me what else is there. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. What is it? There's nothing else, is there? I mean, how could you have anything else other than heaven or earth? Or visible or invisible? Jesus created all things. All things that were made through him, according to John 1, 3 to 4. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So what was made, not made by him? According to this. Everything. You see the consistency in the scripture? Yes, Lisa.
Now, just to clarify something, that him, in reference to Jesus, is not God Almighty, but Jesus.
This is Jesus, yeah, because the verse before, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. So it follows, not just God the Father. The follows the theme of Jesus. Hebrews 1 says this, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, which makes you need to pay attention when you hear some religious person say, God has given me a new revelation, because that's not what the scripture says. It says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through all, whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. Have we heard that before? Colossians 1, 15. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Hebrews says he is the creator. He's the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator. When you read the Old Testament, I want you to think in terms that you're reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the big attacks on the Bible today is that this God of the Old Testament is some angry, vengeful God, and the God of the New Testament is this loving God, Jesus. The reality is, he's both. And what they ignore is that when Jesus comes back, he's going to act just like the God of the Old Testament. Did you know that? Why is he coming back? To judge this earth and to kill and annihilate those who are the unbelievers, which he's going to do pretty efficiently. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Jesus, now this is a trick question for you. I'm going to see how many of you are astute. Because I'd never seen this before I was studying it, and then all of a sudden it popped. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other. Now why does this prove evolution wrong? Well, that's true. But they would say, some Christians would say, well, he just sort of, it's like a Harley. You know, he just kind of kicked it off and then let evolution take over for billions of years, right? Why does this say that evolution is wrong? Ah, you got it. He made it to be inhabited. And evolution just says what? We're here by what?
Accident.
Just by pure accident. You know, the greatest mystery I know is how you could have a man and a woman evolve exactly at the right time, quick enough to have a child, to keep it going. Have you thought about that? Sure,
everything.
So how do you have some evolutionary process? This makes no sense. But look at this. Who has established it, who did not create it in vain? In other words, he had a what? He had a plan and a purpose for why he created it. And the plan and the purpose of why he created it was what? Us. Isn't that amazing? For who? Him. Isn't that amazing? The heavens and the earth are created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, after we get the New Testament illumination of who this God is, we could rewrite this particular scripture, couldn't we? In the beginning, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. Now, I've told you this before who were in my Genesis study, but I'll just remind you, this is an amazing statement. Because this says that God created time, space, and matter. That's what the verse says. Then he goes through and tells you what he did. But in the beginning, that's a time when time started. In the beginning, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. That's literally what they say this verse teaches. Now, how did he do it? How did the Lord Jesus Christ actually create this earth and this universe? With his word. What did he do? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Who's my scientist in here? Would it be difficult to create light? Well, let's take on another one. Keith says you just turned the switch on. He spoke to the switch. No, he said, let there be a switch. All right. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Before, the scripture says the earth was without form and void, which meant it had no form. It was just a watery space, and all of a sudden, he's letting the firmament or the outer space come into being from the waters. And then he said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Now, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. How long did this take? One day at max. One day on all of these. All right? Then God said, let the earth bring forth green grass, that the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, and whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. What kind of wisdom and intelligence would you have? If the Bible is true, and I believe it is, that Jesus Christ could make a statement of let the plants appear, the vegetation appear, with the innumerable varieties, colors, differences, from the big oak trees to the little bitty tiny plants. What kind of intelligence would it take and the wisdom to say, and God said, and it happened in one day? You can't even comprehend it. You can't comprehend that. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And I left out a phrase, and he said, and he made the stars also. Just kind of an afterthought. Well, that was 10 octillion stars, which are so many zeros, you can't believe it. And the scripture says he can name every one of them. What kind of God would it take to be able to create this universe with all of its circular patterns and so forth, with the vastness that it is, in one day? Just think about that. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. What kind of God would it take, with all the innumerable types of sea life and birds, to plan it, to work it out in his head, and say it, and it happened in one 24-hour period? Oh, yeah, they haven't found all of the sea creatures. Some of them are so deep, nobody has ever seen them. It's just a phenomenal to me. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth according to its kind, and it was so. One day, my premise, Jesus said, let it bring forth all these animals. Is there much variety and complexity in the animal kingdom? It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, every species is just special. Then God said, let us make man in our image. In our image. A reference to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. See, that Jesus spoke it into existence. Some say the Father was the one who planned it, and the Spirit hovered over the waters and brought about the creative effects of it. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. So why are human beings here? We are a special creation which obliterates the concept of evolution. Because in evolution, man is here just simply because he happened. Through accidents. Through survival of the fittest. Whatever phrase you want to put on it. It just simply can't be true. The scripture teaches that it happened. And it teaches it happened in one day. And it happened because Jesus Christ did it. And he did it for himself. Because he wanted the fellowship of us with him. From the revelation, the 24 elders fall down before him. Who knows who the 24 elders are? They're the church. There are 24 courses in the Levitical priesthood, just like, and here the 24 elders are a representative number of all the church. Notice that they fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord. Or, O Jesus, if you want to read it that way, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Revelation 10, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it. What else is there? Nothing. that there should be delay no longer. They are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ for his creative ability. When we get there, you're going to say, I can't believe it. It's been in the Bible all this time. Yes, Jim. Just perfect. Exactly. Yeah, why didn't he make it all fresh? Yeah, yeah. He did it in 6 days. Now, the Scripture teaches in Genesis 1 that it took him how long to do it? 6 days. He did this for day one, day two, day three, 6 days. And they come along, even Christians. I've read some of their works, and they say, oh, no, you don't understand. A day was really millions of years. They're trying to harmonize the Scripture with science. It doesn't work, people. Moses comes along, and he says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. So how long did Moses say it took? Why did he know that? How did he know that? Who wrote Genesis? No. Well, that would be a closer truth, God. However, what most people, if we started right here with Darcy and we ended up over here with Tim, and we started a rumor going around the room, how accurate would it be when it got from here to here?
Zero.
Totally inaccurate. So why is it that we hear constantly, even from biblical scholars, that we really can't trust the Word of God because it was handed down generation on generation over millions of years and it got all garbled? So how could it be accurate? And I'm going to give you the answer. There's a theory in Genesis that's called the Toledot theory. Now, the Toledot theory is a word that means in the generations of. And in Genesis, there are 11 places where the Genesis, it says in the generations of Adam, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Joseph, etc. You with me? Those people wrote that section. See, I believe that Adam was a lot smarter than we are today. He wasn't a caveman. He was highly intelligent. Look, if I ask you to go out and name all the animals, most of you would be dead before you could even figure out who they are, much less give them a name. Don't you think he could write? If he's going to, yes.
He had a better teacher than you and I.
Yeah, he did, because he what? Walked with God. He walked with Jesus Christ in the garden. And the only thing that he didn't know about, the only thing he couldn't write about that he was not an eyewitness to, was what? Huh? What, Ron?
Childbirth,
okay. That's true. You're right. You're technically right. What was the other thing he couldn't talk about? What did he not see? The first 6 days. Now, was he created as a baby? Did God create Adam and throw him on the ground as a baby and say, I hope you make it, Bubba? And Adam would go what? Wah, wah. Right? So he must have created him what? Old. 30 years old is what they think. Yeah, Prologue. Right. Yeah, I don't know about the derivation of languages. Most people believe the original language is Hebrew. I don't know whether that's true or not. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe it was Indian, huh? Yeah, well, in this, he did it in Hebrew. That's what he said it in here. Control your husband, Natty, would you? Anyway, yes, Josh.
Where they would use sound, they would see it like in sound being fed at different frequencies. will create the different patterns. And so they did another experiment where they had a whole bunch of, like, I guess it was like powdered clay on this table, and then they played some sound, and then these all of a sudden all these mountains and valleys were being formed.
Really? Just by the result of sound, huh? Yeah, interesting.
It reminds me how God
spoke. That's how he did it. But as far as Moses is concerned, do you think he's just deceived? It really took billions of years, or did it happen in 6 days? You know, he not only said it once, he said it twice, right? Here he says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, and for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So if you're going to go with the scripture based on Genesis 1 and these two passages in Exodus and so forth, you would say that the earth was created how long? 6 days. You'd be on solid ground. And somebody says, you don't know what you're talking about. You'd say, I don't. But the one who wrote the book does. You see, that's your answer. You don't have a clue. Most of you, except Roger, are not old enough, right? Not old enough to remember back that far. Jesus created all things. The Son's creation includes all things. The hierarchy of angelic beings, which are thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. You can see that also in Ephesians. Indicate a highly organized dominion in the spirit world, a spirit sphere in which the Colossians were engaged in the worship of angels and over which Christ reigns supreme. There is a world out there, people, we don't see, consisting of angels and demonic spirits, and it's a hierarchy, and it's active, and it's working hard, and you'll never see it. If you read the books, This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti, or Piercing the Darkness, the theme behind those books was that there's something going on, that there's angels even in this room are demons, and they're waiting to see if we're going to pray, because they could defeat us that way, or we could defeat them that way. So there's a world that you don't see, so forth. Lisa, do you have a question? Oh, you're just standing. Okay, I'm sorry. Jesus holds it all together. I like this. This is from Warren Wiersbe. God took a group of people through an atomic laboratory and explained how all matter was composed of rapidly moving electrical particles. We figured that out, hadn't we? That this room is alive. What you're sitting on is moving at rapid speed. Did you know that? The tourists studied models of molecules and were amazed to learn that matter is made up primarily of space. That chair you're sitting in is mainly space. And let it hold you up, and for some of you, that's a big job, right? During the question period, one visitor asked, if this is the way matter works, what holds it all together? And for that, the guide had no answer. And our answer is what? Jesus holds it all together. Now, there's going to come a time when Jesus is not going to hold it together. According to Peter, there's going to come a time when the whole atomic system is released into one huge big bang, when the earth will be done away with. That's the big bang, right? It's right before he sets up his throne, or when he sets up his throne to judge the lost. The universe is a little over 6,000 years old. Now, who would take exception to me on that? I did the math. You're right. I'm going to count it. That's right. In fact, I'm going to show you my chart. Now, you can't see my chart, so I'm going to have to explain my chart to you. But I want to give you the premise. The premise is that we really don't know how old this earth is. You'll read 8 billion years old. You read the universe is 14 billion years old. You'll read several hundred million years old. This happened and that happened and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches is that the earth is about 6,100 years old. All right? And how did I do that? Well, one day I was doing something, teaching Genesis or something, and I ran into chapter 5 in the book of Genesis. And I want to give you an example. Now, I want you to understand on this chart, I know you can't read it. I knew that when I put it up. This is the first day right here. All right, this says years after creation. So this is 100 years after creation, 200, 300, et cetera, goes all the way down here to 3,300, all right? And down here are the years before Christ, and it goes backwards. All right? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out what the Bible says, how many years after Adam was created, so then I can back up to figure out when he was created. You with me? Let me give you an example. Genesis 5. And Adam was 130 years old and became the father of Seth. And Adam lived 800 more years. And so all the years of Adam's life were 930 years, and he died. Now, is that pretty clear? So how long had Adam been on this earth when Seth was born? 130 years. How many years after that did Adam live? So how old was Adam? By the way, God is always accurate in his math. All right, you with me? You hanging with me? All right. Now, I want to show you something. And then it says when Seth was 106 years old, Enosh was born. And Enosh lived, and Seth lived so many more years, and then he what? He died. All the years of Seth were so many, and he died. You can actually lay that out, and I did. Now, I love this, because you remember I told you that people say, well, we get it all screwed up in our communication down through the years, and I said, well, I think it was actually written. But let's assume that it wasn't written, that it was just passed down. This guy Lamech, who was daddy to Noah. Remember Noah? Noah was born 1,056 years after the flood. I mean, after creation. When Lamech had a question about creation, where could he go? He could go talk to Adam, which is his great, his grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great to the seventh power. I don't know if you even know who your grandfather was back seven generations. But this covers the entire first quarter of the Old Testament right here. Adam was alive up until just a few hundred years before the flood. Yes, the bar links here is the lifespan. For instance, it starts here at day one, and it ends right here at 930. Okay? And here, Seth lived to be 1,042 years after the after creation. The flood took place in 1,656 years. Methuselah, you heard of him? Yep. Longest living guy, 969 years. His name means, when he dies, it shall come. And they believe that Methuselah died the week of the flood. Okay? And then you go down and you go down and you get into chapter 11. And now you go through this all again. And so there's no way to delink what's being taught. I mean, God is clear. You just have to do a little work to find it. It gets a little tough in the when you're looking around at the time of Noah. You have to do a little work. And you got to do a little work around the time of Abraham. But when you get down and you get through all these, all the way to the Solomon's temple, I looked at that, and that would have been 3,208 years. It was 3,209, I can't remember. 3,208, I believe, years after creation. So if I know how long it is after creation, if I know the date of Solomon's temple and when it was christened or whatever, what can I do? If I back up from 961 BC, I can go back, and what do I now know? 3,208 years earlier, the earth was created in 4169 BC, more or less. Jim Hastings says I'm off a few years, but that's all right. I even reconcile it over here with a guy named Usher. Anybody know who Usher is? He said the creation took place in 4004 B.C., and I've reconciled where mine differs from his, all right? So what does this tell me? If I have a link all the way from the time of Adam, and I do, all the way to the time of to Solomon, what does that tell me the Bible is teaching? When God did it. It's that simple. So when somebody says to me, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say, It really does. Now, I thought this was miraculous. I thought I was special. And then I found out a whole bunch of other people had already done it. You can find these charts all over the internet where people have done the same thing. By the way, this proves, because if you do this and you date it, it proves right here that Egypt, Israel was in Egypt exactly 430 days, and the scripture says to the exact day. What would that tell you? How long were they there? 430 years to the exact day, not a different month or anything. You learn that the Exodus took place in 1441 B.C., which is consistent with what all scholars say it happened. There are two dates, one's 1200, one's 1400. 1200 does not fit. So, I know that Jesus created this earth. He created it by Him, through Him, and for Him. He did it in 6 days, and He did it 6,000 years ago, more or less. All right? He's going to do it again. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Here's what He's going to say to you. Look, it took me 14 billion years the first time. You're just going to have to wait a while. So just be patient while all this evolution takes place and we get back to where we have a perfect world. You think? How many think you'll probably do it in one day? Just speak it and it's going to happen. Isn't that amazing? This is the God we worship. This is the God we worship. By the way, there's lots of scientific evidence that the biblical creation date that I just told you about happening 6,200 years ago is in fact real. Simple things like the moon is moving away from the earth so much per year. And if you believe in uniformitarianism, which is a scientific concept, it had to start out on the other side of the earth, which is not possible. There's all kinds of stuff. Even those who work at NASA, they expected because of evolution that when they landed on the moon, that what was their biggest risk? Does anybody remember? Huh? Sinking the dust. How far? Over the top of the module, right? And how much was there? Just a little bit. You see? Which that little bit measured at a certain flow of dust from outer space, give it about 6,000 B.C. There's a lot of evidence like that. All right? Yeah, well, yeah, those who, even unbelievers who believe in intelligent design, know that it had to have a cause, which is where we started. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared, as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. I'm in favor of that. For the former things have passed away. Isaiah said it, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the old earth won't even be remembered. So, the reality is this. The Jesus that we worship, who died for our sins, is the God of this universe, created it all by Him, through Him, and for Him, and in Him all things hold together. Amazing, isn't it? Have a great spring break. We'll see you next.